Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a paper that has really sparked a lot of debate in the AI community.
Yeah, it's called "Were RNNs All We Needed?" And it's making some pretty bold claims.
Yeah, definitely bold. But that's what makes it so interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing us to reconsider some assumptions we've made about recurrent neural networks.
Exactly. You know, for a while, RNNs were like the go-to solution for any task involving sequential data.
Mm-hmm.
Think about natural language processing, time series analysis, anything where the order of the elements matters.
Right, like predicting the next word in a sentence or forecasting stock prices.
Exactly. But then transformers came along and kind of stole the show.
Yeah, with their ability to process information in parallel, they kind of blew RNNs out of the water in terms of speed.
For sure.
Mm.
But this paper is suggesting that maybe we were a little too hasty in writing off RNNs.
Like maybe there's still some untapped potential there.
Exactly. And the paper focuses specifically on two types of RNNs, LSTMs and GRUs.
Yes, LSTMs. Those are the long short-term memory networks, right? I always thought of them as having this kind of internal memory bank, where they can store and retrieve information over long sequences.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. They have this really clever mechanism for deciding what information to remember and what to forget.
Yeah.
It's almost like they have a little gatekeeper inside.
And GRUs, gated recurrent units, they're kind of like a more streamlined version of LSTMs, right?
Yeah, exactly. They have a similar gating mechanism, but they're a bit simpler and more efficient.
So both LSTMs and GRUs are great at handling sequential data, but they had one major drawback: speed.
Yeah, that was their Achilles heel. They could be pretty slow to train, especially when dealing with very long sequences.
And that's where this research comes in, right? They found a way to make these RNNs much faster.
Exactly. They were able to eliminate a major bottleneck in the training process, something called backpropagation through time, or BPTT.
BPTT. I've heard that term before, but I'm not sure I fully understand it. Can you explain it in a way that even I can understand?
Sure. Imagine you're driving down a long road with only one lane. You can only go as fast as the slowest car in front of you, right?
Right.
That's kind of like what BPTT does. It forces the network to process information sequentially one step at a time. Even if some parts of the sequence could be processed in parallel, it still has to wait for the previous steps to finish.
Ah, I see. So it's like a traffic jam for information.
Exactly. And what these researchers did was essentially build a multi-lane highway. They figured out a way to modify LSTMs and GRUs so that they can process information in parallel without needing BPTT.
So no more traffic jams. That sounds like a huge improvement.
It is. They found that for a sequence length of 512, the modified GRUs and LSTMs were 175 and 235 times faster than their original versions.
Wow, that's incredible. But they didn't stop there, did they?
Yep.
They went on to create even more efficient versions called MinLSTMs and MinGRUs.
Yeah, they realized that they could simplify these models even further by reducing the number of parameters.
Parameters, those are like the building blocks of the network, right?
Exactly. And by using fewer parameters, they were able to make these models even faster and more efficient without sacrificing performance.
So we have these souped up, streamlined RNNs.
Mm.
But the big question is, how do they actually perform? Can they really compete with the state-of-the-art models like transformers?
Well, that's what the researchers set out to test. And that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, you've definitely got me hooked. Now tell me everything. How did they put these minimalist RNNs to the test?
So they designed a series of experiments to really push these minimalist RNNs to their limits and see what they were capable of.
I like it, putting them through the ringer. So what was the first challenge?
Well, they started with something called selective copying. It's basically a test of memory.
Okay, so like remembering a shopping list.
Kinda. But imagine your shopping list is like hundreds of items long, and you have to pick out just a few specific items that are scattered throughout the list.
Sounds like a nightmare, especially if you forgot your phone at home.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough task for a neural network, too. But it's a really important one because a lot of real-world problems involve this kind of selective memory.
Right, like if you're trying to build a chatbot that can remember specific details from a conversation or a system that can extract relevant information from a massive database.
Exactly. So how did the minimalist RNNs do? Well, they actually performed incredibly well.
Really? Even though they're so much simpler than some of the other models out there.
Yeah, they were right up there with Mamba, which is considered a state-of-the-art recurrent model.
So they can hold their own against the big boys.
They sure can. And they even outperformed some other popular models like S4H3 and Hyena, which really struggled with this task.
Interesting. So maybe complexity isn't always the answer.
Maybe not. Sometimes simplicity can be a strength, especially when it comes to efficiency.
Okay, so they aced the memory test. What about something a little more dynamic, something that involves more than just remembering information?
That's where the second task comes in, reinforcement learning.
Ah, yes. The world of robots and agents learning to navigate complex environments.
Exactly. They used a benchmark called D4RL, which is known for its challenging data sets.
So these aren't your typical fish-the-ball robot.
Definitely not. We're talking about robots that have to learn to walk, jump, manipulate objects, and solve all sorts of intricate puzzles.
Sounds like a real test of intelligence.
It is. And once again, the minimalist RNNs proved to be surprisingly competitive.
You're kidding.
Ah.
They were able to keep up with the robots.
They were. They consistently outperformed a model called Decision S4 and were right on par with some of the leading models in reinforcement learning like Decision Transformer Aaron and Decision Mamba.
Wow. So not only can they remember a shopping list, they can also teach a robot dog new tricks.
Uh-huh. Pretty much.
Okay. I'm impressed. But we haven't talked about language yet. Can these minimalist RNNs hold their own against the language models that are all the rage these days? The ones that can write poems and code and even compose music?
That was the focus of the third task, language modeling.
So like training a model to predict the next word in a sentence or the next character in a story.
Exactly. They use the complete works of Shakespeare as their training data.
Shakespeare. That's setting the bar pretty high.
It is. But they wanted to see if these minimalist RNNs could capture the nuances of human language.
Did they pass the Shakespeare test?
Well, they did something even more interesting.
Do tell.
When it came to accuracy, the Mingyo's, MinLSTM's Mamba, and even the Transformers all performed at a similar level.
So no clear winner.
Not in terms of accuracy, but there was a big difference in how quickly they learned.
I bet I know where this is going, Speed.
Bingo. Mamba was the fastest reaching its peak performance very quickly, but right behind it were the Mingyu's and MinLSTM's. The Transformers, on the other hand, took significantly longer to train.
Like they were still trying to figure out iambic pentameter.
Haha, something like that. It took the Transformers almost 2.5 times more steps than the MinGRU to reach that same level of accuracy.
So even in the realm of language, these minimalist RNNs are proving to be incredibly efficient.
Exactly. And that's a huge advantage because training these large language models can be incredibly time-consuming and expensive.
So it's not just about how well a model performs, but also how quickly and efficiently it can learn.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the key takeaways from this paper.
This is really making me rethink some things.
Yeah.
I mean, these minimalist RNNs are outperforming models that were considered cutting edge just a few years ago.
It just goes to show that innovation doesn't always mean creating something new. Sometimes it means rediscovering something old and finding new ways to make it work.
Like that old pair of jeans you find in the back of your closet that suddenly comes back in style.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we get too carried away with all these exciting possibilities, let's take a step back and recap what we've learned about these minimalist marvels. All right, so let's recap this wild ride through minimalist RNN land. What have we learned?
Well, we started by asking, were RNNs all we needed? And I gotta say, this paper makes a pretty compelling case.
Right. It definitely challenges the idea that Transformers just came in and swept the floor with everything else.
Totally. I mean, we saw those speed improvements. The modified GRUs and LSTMs were 175 and 235 times faster than the originals. That's insane.
And not just faster. They got a whole lot more efficient with those MinLSTMs and MinGRUs. Fewer parameters,
yeah.
But still packing a punch.
Exactly. It's like they got rid of all the clutter and kept only the essentials.
Marie Kondo would be proud. So then we put them to the test. First, with that selective copying task. Remember that? Like finding a needle in a haystack of data.
Oh, yeah. And they totally nailed it. They were even better than some of those newer models that are supposed to be all fancy.
It's like those classic cars that still outperform some of the modern ones. Then we moved on to reinforcement learning. Training those robots to do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, that D4RL benchmark is no joke. But our minimalist RNNs held their own, even outperformed some of the top dogs in that field.
It's like they went to robot boot camp and came out valedictorian. And finally, we had the Shakespeare test language modeling with the complete works of the Bard himself.
Talk about a tough crowd. But they all did pretty well on that one, accuracy-wise at least.
Yeah, the difference was in how quickly they learned. Those MinGRUs and MinLSTMs were hot on the heels of Mamba, the fastest of the bunch.
While those Transformers were still trying to figure out how to rhyme couplets.
Exactly. So it seems like efficiency is the name of the game, not just performance.
Right. You can have the smartest model in the world, but if it takes forever to train, it's not going to be very useful in the real world.
So what's the big takeaway here? Should we all ditch transformers and go back to using RNNs?
Well, I don't think it's that simple. It's not about picking one over the other. It's about recognizing that different tools have different strengths and weaknesses.
And sometimes those older tools still have some tricks up their sleeve.
Absolutely. This research is a great reminder that we should always be open to revisiting those classic techniques. Who knows what hidden gems we might find?
Like that dusty old vinyl collection you find in the attic? Turns out it's full of hidden treasures.
Exactly. And maybe we can learn something from the past and apply it to the future.
So for all you AI enthusiasts out there, I want to leave you with this thought. What other seemingly outdated techniques are waiting to be rediscovered?
And how can we use these new insights to build even more powerful and efficient AI systems? It's an exciting time to be in this field, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
And most importantly, don't be afraid to question those assumptions.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all for this deep dive, folks. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.